Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast on this 28th of June 2017. As we discuss the world of sports and pop culture, as always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or hit me up and follow me on Instagram at Riddle Gerald Quinn. As always, go to apple.com, apple.itunes.com to rate or review the program as well. Prefer 5 stars, but we will certainly take 4. No less than 4, though. You can't give me like 2 stars and 1 star. Or if you're going to give me 2 stars and 1 star, at least explain why you're giving me 1 star. Thank you. New York Knickerbockers, Los Angeles Clippers. On this 28th of June, an absolute dead sports week. A week in where, if you're a sports geek, a nerd like me, sports hosts and radio hosts, podcasters, take off for vacation because there's nothing to talk about. But your New York Knicks and your Los Angeles Clippers just provided me with this podcast. So this podcast is on their, you know, it's on behalf of them. I dedicate this podcast to the New York Knicks and the Los Angeles Clippers. Because of you, I'm able to do this podcast on this night. Because there's nothing to talk about. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I'm reaching for, like, Vince Young and Clinton Portis. That story. I mean, read that story, SportsIllustrated.com, about Clinton Portis almost basically losing his mind, or about to lose his mind. And you look at these two franchises, and it was like this was supposed to happen on this day to these two franchises, because they are both franchises that, in a sense, mirror each other in dysfunction. Now, there are degrees of dysfunction. There are some differences with their levels of dysfunction. Like the Knicks, to me, I look at the Knicks as just the Keystone Cops. Like, they're completely just inept, don't have a clue what they're doing, couldn't walk or chew gum. That's the Knicks. They just don't have a clue. You know, can't get right. Those are the Knicks. The Clippers, on the other hand, are like functioning alcoholics. Like, yeah, they're going to win 55 to 57 games a year. They're going to make the playoffs. Lob City. Chris Paul's going to, you know, be all NBA, all defense, be an all-star. You know, Blake is going to, you know, do what he does. DeAndre's going to block some shots, miss some free throws. But at the end of the day, You know what the end result is going to be. Out in the first round or out in the second round. Like, I was laughing this year when people were actually considering the Clippers to be a championship contender. Like, I really found that comical going into the 2016-2017 season. But you think about these franchises, and they have the same issues of just a toxic culture for different reasons. Like, one, well, basically for the same reason. Like, the Clippers culture is toxic, because of the nepotism that went along with Doc Rivers and Austin Rivers. Okay, when you start turning down trades, when you don't have to give up one of your 3 best players, and you can get back a future Hall of Famer in Carmelo Anthony, that's kind of why you don't coach your son on a professional level. Like, it's cute on a college level when your son is a walk-on and he comes off the bench and hits a you know, a three-pointer in a meaningless game. Like, that's, you know, that's it. Yeah, you know, you want to just smile and you want maybe you shed a tear if you're a father. But that shot doesn't mean anything. Your son playing doesn't mean anything at that point in terms of the outcome of the game, in terms of how you run your university. We were talking about Bill Self when he was coaching Kansas, having his son call off the bench. It was a walk, basically not a walk-on, but coach's son played when the game was over. It's not cool when your son is a rotational player, or your son is keeping you from making trades that are just absolute no-brainers. And you can go to the Knicks, and you can look at nepotism as being the major reason why they're in their current predicament. Now, listen, you could spend a whole day if you want to, if you're a Knicks fan, beating up on Phil Jackson. Not, be my guest, knock yourself out. But how did you sabotage something that was already sabotaged? That's my question. Like, the Knicks' number one problem is the fact that Charles Dolan, father of James Dolan, that's the problem. Charles Dolan is the father of James Dolan. Right then and there, you entrust your son with a multi-billion-dollar corporation. And again, James Dolan, to his credit as a businessman, is making money hand over foot. But being a great businessman does not equate to being a great owner. So there lies the issue, the number one issue with the New York Knicks. Again, defend Phil Jackson by any stretch of imagination. You almost have to separate Phil the coach versus Phil the basketball, by the president of basketball operations, Phil the GM, Phil, you know, that Phil. You have to separate the two, to be fair about it. Phil was awful. Newsflash. I mean, I don't think I'm, you know, breaking new ground by saying that. You know, he was stubborn, didn't want to evolve with the times, stuck in his way. You know, he stuck on the triangle, the offense that nobody runs. And most importantly, this is where Phil really screwed up. And this is, being in education for 14 years, this has become probably the number one skill that an educator can have at this point in 2017, that is relationship building. You got to build relationships. You have to be a people person. And Phil, you know, found a way in his especially in the last couple of years, just to basically piss off everybody, amazingly, even within his own organization. So, again, these two franchises, it is ironic, but to me it makes perfect sense that it happened, that these two situations, then Phil Jackson firing, Chris Paul trade to Houston, happened on the same day. It makes perfect sense why these two, because right now the Knicks are what the Clippers once were and are headed to be and will be. And will soon, despite the acquisitions of Lou Williams and others, and a bunch of other players, along with Lou Williams, going back to what they were before Chris Paul became a member of the franchise back in 2011-2012 season. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. When we return, we will talk about the fallout of the Chris Paul trade and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Cyril Drill Quinn Sports Podcast, 28th of June, 40 minutes after the 9 o'clock hour. Of course, the NBA, again, the NBA has turned into the NFL from the standpoint of it is a 365, 12-month-a-year league. I mean, between, you know, the marathon season and the playoffs, draft, free agency, and I guess all this has happened. Free agency hasn't started yet. Free agency doesn't start until Saturday, Sunday, July 1st. So you have, you know, you're gonna have a lot going on in regards to that. Well, I should say Saturday is July 1st. Get that straight. But you know, this is what the NBA is right now, and this is what Adam Silver, this is what the powers that be, this is what they want. They want us talking about NBA basketball. You know, winter, spring, and fall, summer, and summer. I mean, they want us talking about, and again, NBA Summer League begins. So with this crop of rookies that you have, just, you know, this deep draft that we just had, that is going to be, you know, almost must-see TV if you're a basketball junkie, a basketball fan, to watch your favorite rookie or your team's rookies and see how they develop in the Summer League, which normally wouldn't be, I would normally care two cents about in past years, but you know, this year I have to watch it this year. You know, I want to see what some of these guys, like you know, some of these top picks, you know, DeAndre Fox, Lonzo Ball and company are up, and Markelle Fultz will be how they'll perform in the Summer League. So looking at I'll go Houston first, because to me the Houston move is more impactful as far as the landscape of the NBA in terms of the title hunt. Listen, this is an absolute no-brainer for the Houston Rockets. I know there have been question marks about, well, you know, can Chris Paul and James Harden play together? You can, in today's NBA, you cannot have enough playmakers. Right now, currently constructed, you have Chris Paul, James Harden, Eric Gordon, all who can handle the ball, all who can create offense for other players. You can't have enough playmakers in today's NBA. Again, the team that everybody that, you know, I call it, and I say it on Facebook, Warrior Paranoia, the team that everybody's chasing, they have four or five playmakers. They have playmakers coming off their bench. Okay. Can't have enough playmakers. Both players, Paul and Harden, can play off the ball. Both players want to play with each other. This was not, excuse me, this was not a trade that was just came out of the blue, that was just forced by the Clippers, and where Chris Paul doesn't, you know, this is where Chris Paul wants to be. And I think, I'm not concerned at all about them being able to play with each other. The question is moving. The question to me, and I didn't hear this enough over the course of the day as you're following all of this, as the news, you know, with all the comments and all the analysis of this deal, is why Houston over San Antonio? Why James Harden and Mike D'Antoni over Kawhi Leonard and Greg Popovich? That would be my question to Chris Paul. And again, San Antonio had the assets to make a deal as well. I mean, they could have moved Danny Green. They could have moved, you know, Patty Mills. Well, maybe not Patty Mills, he's a free agent. But they had not quite the level of assets to move for Chris Paul, but they had, Chris Paul could have been like, look, I'm going to San Antonio. This was Chris Paul's choice. Chris Paul could have told the Clippers, look, you want to get something for me, trade me to San Antonio, or I'll walk for nothing. So it doesn't even come down to a point. I mean, it really was on Chris Paul in order to facilitate this. I mean, he had the majority of the power here. So that would be the one question I would ask, would wonder about. But at the end of the day, Houston's in a position now where they still have some pieces that they can get, that they can move to acquire, say, a Paul George. I don't think Carmelo Anthony is coming to Houston. I understand he and Paul are close, but that's not going to happen. Remember, and Knicks fans will certainly be thinking about this. You know, it didn't end well between D'Antoni and the Knicks, to say the least. It did not end well at all. So I don't see that really. And that relationship is, you know, listen, D'Antoni wanted Jeremy Lin to run his offense. And, you know, Chris Paul, not, excuse me, not Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony, you know, we, anybody that's, you know, that's realistic knows that Carmelo Anthony did not like the attention that Jeremy Lin was getting and basically forced Jeremy Lin out of New York from that standpoint. And in turn, forced Mike D'Antoni out of New York. So that reunion will not happen. That will not happen. I don't, you, Carmelo Anthony, I think, you know, the thing about Carmelo Anthony that you have to realize is, and this is, again, this thing that's not being talked about. Everybody talks about the buyout. Everybody talks about, you know, his no trade, you know, his no trade, the no trade clause that he has in his contract. Carmelo Anthony wants to be in New York. And he's been consistent. This is a guy who had half the New York Knicks traded for him in order to get to New York. Like, Carmelo Anthony could have went to the Knicks, and they could have kept Gallinari, Wilson Chandler, guys like, they could have kept those guys. And Carmelo Anthony would have went to New York as a free agent. Carmelo Anthony forced that trade, and basically and the Knicks gave up half their team to get him, a move that they haven't recovered from since. So he wants to be in New York. He loves his money, and he can still score. I mean, those are three things that Carmelo Anthony has consistently been about since he came into this league. So I don't know why that keeps getting ignored when we talk about Carmelo to Cleveland or Carmelo to Houston or Carmelo to whoever. Carmelo Anthony does not want to be traded, okay? The New York Knicks are not going to buy Carmelo Anthony out, because if they buy him out, they will get nothing for him. And if you're Carmelo Anthony, would you give up your trading? Would you get, even with Phil Jackson out of the picture, would you trust the Knicks to move you to a team that you want to go to? I mean, think about that. If you're Carmelo Anthony. So I expect Carmelo Anthony come, you know, October, come November when the season opens in a couple of months, to be a New York Knick. I really do. I don't think he's going anywhere. And you also have to take consideration his personal situation. I'm in La-La, not together right now. So wants to be around his son. So that, like, you have to take, yeah, those are the type of things that you have to take in when it comes to these, when it comes to these players. In terms of, that's one thing that's underrated about players when it comes to moves and free agency or moves in general, their personal situations. It really doesn't matter in terms of where they want to live at, cost of, you know, cost of living, state tax, things of that nature. The other stuff that people don't pay enough attention to when it comes to these players and all in all of these sports, especially the NBA. It's all about lifestyle in the NBA. Again, the Houston Rockets, again, are in a position where they're not done in terms of making moves. Paul George has also heard Paul Millsap could be a possibility. Houston's going to make another move. Now, will they get who they want, who they exactly want to get? That remains to be seen. But they're not going to stop here. They're not going to. Like, Daryl Morey, to me, this was a, you know, he executed part A of this plan. Part B is still in the works. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll talk about Vince Young and much, much more on this first edition of Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Is a call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. Thanks to my Facebook viewers and listeners out there. Thanks to the audience out there as well as listening and your views and comments. Poll question of the day, of the night, is who's to blame? You could blame Phil Jackson, Doc Rivers, James Dolan, who deserves more, the most blame in terms of these two catastrophic moves happening on today during over the course of today? So, Phil Jackson, James Dolan, Doc Rivers. It's pretty hard, man. It's pretty hard to choose, to be honest with you. It's pretty hard to choose out of those three. I would lean towards James Dolan because, again, as the owner, you are number one when it comes to the leadership. But again, Doc Rivers, listen, Doc Rivers wasn't that far from being the owner. I mean, he was second outside of, you know, he was basically second to the owner. So you can knock him as well. Switching gears a little bit, Vince Young, Sports Illustrated did a piece on Vince Young. I recommend reading it, basically his trials and tribulations. He's trying to get back into the NFL. He plays over in Canada, CFL, recently got hurt, plays for the Rough Riders. I can't even pronounce the first one, the name of the team. The Rough Riders is the name of the team, but Saskatchewan, one of those Canadian teams. It's really difficult to pronounce. But basically, Vince Young wants to get back in the NFL. And to me, I look at Vince Young, and you say to yourself, and I don't feel sorry for Vince Young at all. If you're trying to get back in the NFL, it can't be a situation where you provide most of the blame to others and very little blame to yourself. And that's all what this article was. Vince Young blamed Jeff Fisher, blamed NFL owners, he blamed circumstances, he blamed himself. He gave himself about, if I base it on percentages, he gave himself about maybe 15% of the blame. I mean, to me, the only reason why you come out with this article, why you open yourself up to this, is that, hey, you're trying to get back in the NFL. So how do you get back in the NFL? You knock Ryan Fitzpatrick. You take shots at current NFL players. You take shots at coaches for not giving you opportunity. And I see, and you kind of see where he gets it from. You know, there's a video on there on the website. It's about 7 minutes long that details his, you know, gives basically a timeline of his life from Texas, from that Texas USC national championship game up until now, about 7 minutes. And, you know, he has a bunch of family members, mostly women, aunts and his mother, aunts and cousins, who basically enable him and basically point the finger at everybody else except Vince. So when you have people who, you know, I call them yes men, point at you, then you're not going to have then there's going to be a lack of self-awareness. Even his pastor is basically pointing the finger at, you know, Jeff Fisher. You know, Jeff Fisher's hate, his hate, he wanted to try to bring Vince Young down and so on and so on and so on. So you understand why, over the course of Vince Young's career, why he never was able to turn it around and why he was out of the league, you know, basically, you know, before you know it. I mean, he was in the league, considering everything that he dealt with, had his career, I've seen shorter careers, but basically he had about 5 decent years and it was a wrap. I mean, you know, that was all it took, but not even 5 decent years. I would say from 2006, Basically, it was over in 2008. After that, he was bouncing around Packers, Eagles, Browns. None of those teams he stuck with longer than basically a cup of coffee. But again, to me, listen, if I'm Vince Young, and listen, the likelihood that he makes it back in the NFL is basically slim and none, or at this point, maybe none and none. I mean, he's a backup quarterback in the CFL. I mean, let's be honest about that. I mean, you have to go out there. If you're a coach in the NFL, you're not looking. You're looking at undrafted free agents. You're looking at other teams as backups. You're not looking at backups in the CFL to play quarterback, even to be a backup on your team. So his chances were already remote as is. But to get up there, but again, these teams, and you already have baggage with you. These teams are not going to even come close to you because they're going to say the same thing I'm saying right now. What has he learned? through all his struggles, to being almost flat broke, to losing millions and millions of dollars, to being humiliated, what has he really learned at this point? Now Bishop is about 34, 35 years old, and he's still talking like he's 24, 25. I mean, what really has he learned? So, again, it's a sad tale of too much, too fast. Again, this is a guy who was on top of the world in 2006. And I thought, to be honest with you, I thought he had a pretty good chance. I thought he was going to be a pretty good pro. I didn't think Vince Young had all-time great talent. I thought that Vince Young could be a guy that could be a starter in the league for 10 years and could be a backup for 3 or 4. I mean, he should have had a 12 to 15 year career in the NFL, without question. Just on sheer talent. But again, got caught up drinking his own juice, and again, got caught up with just a lack of self awareness and a lack of accountability. And again, those people, you look at people who are not successful. They always point the finger at others. It's never their fault. It's always somebody else's fault. You look at athletes that have pitfalls, or look at athletes who are not able to turn around. The ones who are able to turn around completely blame themselves and move on, work on themselves, and get back, or come close to getting back to where they were. The guys like Vince Young, they blame everybody. 347-215-6180. When we return, we'll wrap it up on this latest edition of the Silo Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We began the program, of course, talking about the 77-player deal between the Los Angeles Clippers and Houston Rockets. Chris Paul going to the Rockets, Clippers getting Sam Decker, Patrick Beverley, and also Lou Williams, and a first-round pick in 2018. Also a number of non-guaranteed contracts. So Houston and Daryl Morey really had to do some serious willing and dealing to get this trade pulled off because just with those players alone, they did not have enough money to match up with the money that Chris Paul was making. So they had to get a bunch of non-guaranteed contracts to come close. You had to be within, I think, you had to be within something like 120% of in terms of matching the contract when you make a trade for players. So Houston gets Paul, and the New York Knicks get rid of Phil Jackson. Again, how dysfunctional do you have to be if you're the Clippers to lose a player because of a coach, when that coach was perceived around the league to be a quote-unquote players coach who was great with veteran players? I mean, think about that for a second. Doc Rivers had a reputation of being a player's coach who knew how to deal with veteran players. Yet Chris Paul is no longer Los Angeles Clipper. The New York Knicks, again, how dysfunctional can you be when you make everyone forget about the fact that you were a horrible franchise before you got there? That's how bad Phil Jackson was. And he made everybody forget just how bad it was before he got there. Because the Knicks went from being the dude, the man, the person who's $50,000 in debt to being basically $100,000 in debt in 3 years. So NBA dysfunction at its best. Again, two franchises that really, in the end, got what they deserved. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cyril Joaquin Sports Podcast. I will see you next time. Have a great evening.